Hi, everyone. From me, Brent Graham from Good for the Game. It's Thursday night. It's time for the handicap rugby chat that matters. Yes, all of us in South Africa, we're waiting for the local rugby season to get going. But the good news is there's so much rugby around the world to catch our attention. We've got plenty of European rugby taking place this weekend. We've got Australian Super Rugby where the group stages are drawing to a close. I must say I've lost a little bit of enthusiasm every week of Australian Super Rugby to the point is that I'm really trying to struggle to lift myself a little bit for it now, I must admit. But we'll get straight into the games. Now, I think there's also, and I'll check with my first guest, the conductor, Brendan Vessels. Brendan, I think there's also, is it the North Island v. the South Island in New Zealand this weekend?
Yes, Brent, what a cracker. Basically, almost a Crusaders versus Blues game that we were denied by COVID, that outbreak in, I think it was Auckland. So, yeah, very, very strong two teams. And, yeah, it should be a cracker game that's with a Crusader-packed South side versus a lot of Blues in the North side. But also some absolutely cracker players in the North side. Sever Rees, guys like Aaron Smith and TJ Perenara in the North. So, so some good banter on the Good for the Game forum. Guys trying to pick whichever team they want to go for. But, yeah, it should be absolute good game. And hopefully they swing the ball around there.
Excellent. Well, we'll hopefully get a chance to chat to you about that. I know you are expecting the axe of the load shedding man to fall on you at any point. So Brendan unfortunately made us appear. But the good news is we've got Brady in there to talk European rugby. He's back after a week off. I gave him a week off, a week's leave. Good to have you back, sir. And plenty of rugby. I see you've even been betting on one of the French lower leagues.
Evening, Brendan. There is a game tonight. And as I was saying earlier, you know, there's a strong Biarritz team tonight, so I thought I'd give it a go. Weather is great, and rugby is finally back in France after 6 months, so I couldn't miss a chance to, you know, to place a few bets on it.
Okay, well, we got him. We had Brendan on the show for all of about 2 minutes. Unfortunately, that's him gone. Now that's load shedding, and there's Oracopedia joining us as well. And just a welcome to Helcott. Saying he finally managed to make a live show. So well done, Helcott. Please, you could join us. Chris Rowe and Peter Paul also joining us. Peter, good to see you on the show. And unfortunately, that's the end of Brendan. I may have taken him off the screen now. It's you and me, Brady. He's absolutely gone. And right. that's the difference, I think, between living in South Africa and France potentially at the moment. And he tried his best. He was hoping they'd give him a bit of a run, but it was not to be. Let's get straight into the Australian games. Then we've got Rebels minus 13.5. And that's at, I've taken the betting tonight at Playbets, but the handicap's minus 13.5, minus 14.5 against the Force. Not quite a dead rubber because the Rebels have to win this game to book their spot in the playoffs. But you'd expect them to beat the Force quite comfortably.
Yeah, you expect that. But, you know, looking at the tables, they just need a win there. They don't need anything else. They need 4 points. And if they've got the 4 points, they're in the, you know, they're in the kind of semi-finals against the Reds. So, you know, they might just go for the win and not force on, you know, to get in the players injured or stuff like this for the next week game. So I've been very disappointed by the Rebels' defense. I mean, I watched last week. It was like, open doors for 80 minutes against the Waratah. You know, as I said 2 weeks ago in my first show, I don't like those handicaps. I don't bet handicaps on the OC game because anything can happen. The Force can win tomorrow. The Rebels might, you know, win by 50 points. You don't know. So if I have to take something, I think I will take the Force here, even if they've been very disappointed, you know, since the beginning of the competition. I don't see the Rebels, you know, fighting too hard for that game. They're going to get the 4 points end off and then prepare for the next game against the Reds in a week.
Interesting that, yeah. I mean, I must say, I try to read a bit of form into Australian rugby, and you get a team that beats one team by 40 points, and they come out and lose to a team that lost to the other team by 30. It really is difficult to read form. An angle I like, Brady, on this a little bit, though, is the Rebels' halftime handicap at sort of 7.5. And my logic there is that they do need the win. And as you say, they only need a win. They don't need bonus points or anything. But I fancy them to come out focused, ready to get the job done, and quite possibly get out into a lead and then, you know, potentially start already thinking about next weekend and focus off. So I looked at the full-time handicap, and I know I want to share the screen quickly and just bring up Couch Critic's article. He writes it for Bet Olymp, just to have a look there. They've got a nice money-back special, which might be appropriate on the Reds-Brumbies game. on that one. But this is go down to Couches. We'll go to Couches bets here as well. He's got Rebels minus 14.5. I wouldn't put anyone off that, but I like the Rebels on the halftime handicap. What do you think of that logic?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. They might start the game like, you know, very quickly, score 1, 2, 3 tries, and then, you know, relax second half. But on the other end, you know, when you look at the Force, what they've been doing for the past, you know, few weeks, they kind of normally manage well first half. They're quite a, you know, they can play 40 minutes, and after that, this is, you know, they provide nothing. So I agree with that, but based on the statistics and, you know, purely statistics, then I will be very careful. What is the handicap half time? Is it
7.5?
You know, 7.5. If you manage to get 6.5, which is 1 converted tries, then I think that's a good one. 7.5, need to see, especially with the Rebels defense the past few games. We'll be careful here. But that could be a good one. Or I know that sometimes a coach likes the 1-7 margin and then 1-12 margin. Something like this could be good as well, because you could get some very good odds on that. So it could be a move.
Could be, yeah. That's welcome to welcome to Dave as well, watching on Facebook. We, of course, going live on Facebook and Twitter as well. And here is Couch's tips. He's gone for the minus 14.5, but these are the ones that everybody likes following him on. First try scorer, Issa Nasirani, and that's at just over 20-1. Last try scorer is a 13-1 shot, Lachlan Anderson, and anytime try scorer, Dane Hallett-Petty at, I think, 2.4. They probably relates to 14-10. I'm not too sure on their side. But, yeah, so one of those games. I think Chris, I think, said it quite nicely. He says, this is a game you stay away from. Rebels win. That's it. So that's probably a fair point there, Chris, without a doubt. Let's go have a look, though, at our next game. And this game has been priced up as a choice game. And I didn't even bother handicapping these games this week, Brady. I just couldn't lift myself to do it. But and I'll just bring up Couch's bets on this one as well. I mean, we've got the Reds team that are assured of second spot, so they've got nothing to play for. And you've got a Brumbies team that are assured of finishing top of the table, so they've got nothing to play for. And the bookies are basically saying it's a choice game. Brumbies, very slight favourites.
Yeah, I think I was expecting, actually, the Brumbies to come with a second-hand squad and the Reds probably to do the same, because both are qualified. Actually, they both came with strong teams, which I was surprised today when I looked at the squad sheet. So, very interesting game. I haven't been impressed by the Brumbies. I've been more impressed by the Reds. If you compare with the beginning of the competition, where the Reds were like fourth favorite or something like this. I'm advantage for me. I think the Reds on the cap, or the Reds on the boards will be the move here. I don't think they're gonna fight too hard, and I'm advantage here. Simple for me.
Right. Yeah, I was also looking at this one, trying to find a betting angle. I must say, I battled a bit, and it is probably a game that I'm going to. I think it's a game I'm probably going to largely sit out. I'll be traveling on Saturday, going to pick up some weights. My son is starting a home gym, and I said I'll go fetch some weights for him on Saturday, so I won't have to watch this game, which may not be a bad thing. Just on this one, having a look at Couch's one, and here's what you're talking about: Brumbies to win by 1-7 points. That's at 26-10, and the halftime full-time margin. He loves these bets. The Reds to lead by 1-8 at the break, and the Brumbies to win by 1-12 at the end of the game, and that is getting around about the 14-1 mark. So he's got some interesting combinations there. And certainly, if you are going to watch this game and you don't really have a firm view either way, then something at a 13-1 is obviously a nice way to get a bit of. Get a bit of interest in it on that. But I guess that's enough of Aussie rugby for now, Brady. Let's touch on that North Island v South Island game quickly. I haven't really looked at it myself, I must say, but I thought I'll just mention it. Have you had any chance to look at that, or is there something we should be looking out for in that game?
I think that's a game to watch. I'm not sure this is a game where you're going to put money on, or maybe, you know, probably in play. But I think this is a game to watch. When you look at the two squads, the 30 players that are going to be, you know, on the field, God, that looks like a cracking game. But, you know, those guys, they haven't, you know, played. Well, you've got the Blues team in one side and the Crusader in one side, but they haven't played for 3 weeks. So, you know, which shape are they going to be in? That's, you know, that's a question. I'm not sure about the forecast. I don't even know where the game is played, to be honest. So, to be honest with you, it starts to become, you know, like crowded with rugby, you know. Northern Europe, you still have some super rugby. Now you've got that. You will have the Mitre and the Currie Cup coming. I think you have to pick up your game at some stage. So this one, it's a game to watch, but to bet on. I know some, I think Southpaw who placed the bait already and Tough on Spur as well. No, for me, that's, it's like the Aussies Super Rugby. It's game to watch and maybe to do something in play. You know, if you've got a high scoring first half, then maybe jump on the unders, something like this. But no, I will not be betting on that prior to the game. And after that, I'm going to watch first half and then I'm going to pick up my family at the airport. So that's going to be it for me.
And that's the last time we'll see you on the show for a while. With the family back, the hard work is going to be beginning. Yeah. Brendan Vessel's actually joining us on Twitter. I can actually picture him sitting in the dark, perhaps with a little candle burning next to him there, watching the show. So Brendan's saying that's just on the previous game, Reds all the way. I just want to pop back to this question of Oraclepedia, which is, of course, the legendary Oracle Rugby, who's also coming back on the show when the South African games continue. And he's asking, do you get the Currie Cup games shown in France, Brady? I heard you mention the Currie Cup, and that triggered me on this one.
I don't live in France, so I'm not,
of
I don't know
the. You don't. You're not in the UK, yes.
I'm in the UK, but I can tell you that in France, I don't. You can't watch the game. You have to find a stream to watch. In the UK, they used to be the game. Some of the game on Sky Sports. So I think in the UK, I don't know if they bought the rights this year, because in the UK, it's weird what's going on with the TV rights for rugby, because it's been a year that nobody's been buying the top 14, for example. So you can't watch the top 14 on TV anymore. It's been 12 months now. And I don't know if they bought the Mitri and the Currie Cup. So we'll have to wait for that. But in France, no, you can't watch the Currie Cup for sure.
Okay, interesting stuff. Right, let's move on to Europe now. I'm going to start with the Guinness Pro 14. We're into the semi-finals here. We've got the first game I'm bringing up. Leinster -7.5 against Munster at Playbets, and the points line 42.5. Brady, thoughts on this game?
I don't know if you've seen, but I've done with a simple combo for the weekend. I put Edinburgh and Leinster to win at just a bit below events. I think those two teams will qualify. On the Leinster Munster, they played, 2 weeks ago, and that was a cracking game. And I expect the same tomorrow night. I think that's going to be an amazing game. If they play the same way as last week, that's going to be amazing. I think Leinster, because they're playing kind of home ground in Dublin, they've got the home advantage, even with an empty stadium. The way they were playing last week was amazing. I was impressed by the Munster. But Munster have been losing some key players. Sliman is out for the rest of the season almost. Plus another player, two strong team. But if I had to pick up something, I will go with Leinster. And then on the points, I haven't seen the forecast yet, but this is a semi-final. And for me, going over in a semi-final or in a final, it's very complicated. Even if we had, I think we had like 55 points 2 weeks ago, I don't see a high scoring tomorrow. So I would probably go, if I had to do something, I would probably go on there on that. But that should be a cracking game, and that's a game to watch as well.
Certainly will be. I'm sure that will be a cracking one. I'm interested that you mentioned that double there, because I'll definitely be looking at that. I'm looking for the best bet for the newsletter tomorrow. And if you haven't subscribed to our free betting mail that goes out on a Friday, go down in the description box below and hit the button there. And it's very quick. You can just sign up for that. So we've got Leinster -7.5 there. There was a comment that I wanted to come back to here. Where was it? Okay, no, I think it was further up from Oraclepedia. But, I must say the quality of the game that these guys delivered, I think it was it a week or two ago, was absolutely unbelievable. It was really superb. And if they can do something similar, we should be in for an entertaining game. But I tend to agree with you on the unders there, because this is, of course, now a semi-final as well. So they'll certainly be taking their 3 pointers there. So that's the Guinness Pro 14 first semi. And then the other game which you suggested, you've just taken the straight win Edinburgh and added it to Leinster. I see the handicap here, -6.5 against Ulster. And lots of money from what I can gather for Edinburgh since the market has first priced up.
Yeah, because if you look at 2 weeks ago, it's Brad Brace who posted on the forum today. He managed to get Edinburgh at 191. So that was a choice almost on the game. And you can see, I think from Sunday, you could still manage to get 2.5, 3.5. I think I woke up Monday morning, I checked the lines, and most of the bookmakers were already 5.5, 6.5. I think there's been a lot of money on that. I think the main reason, and this is what I was explaining on the forum, I've been very disappointed by the Ulster. I watched the game against the Connacht. I watched the game against the Leinster. And even if it was, you know, a second choice Leinster, they haven't showed anything at all. You know, 160 minutes of, you know, not much, to be honest with you. So I know the Leinster has a strong defense, but Connacht has not, you know, the strongest defense in the Pro 14, and still they haven't shown much. So I think Edinburgh playing, you know, in the BT Murray Fields, they should win. 6.5 might become a bit, you know, quite high at this stage, semi-final once again. But yeah, I think they should win that one, and shouldn't be too complex for them. I think they're better in, you know, in scrum and, you know, in touch and all this kind of thing. So yeah, Edinburgh, and yeah, 6.5 might be a bit high, but a 1-12 could be a good move on that. I don't know what are the odds, but 1-12 Edinburgh could be good, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll probably be around somewhere around the 16-10 mark, I would imagine. Lots of support coming in for your double there. Darren watching on Facebook saying he's got a big bet on the Leinster Edinburgh double. And Chris also agreeing that could be the bet of the weekend, and he also likes the Leinster -7. Hendrik Swart watching us. He'll be back for the South African Games. And he makes a good point there, Hendrik. Particularly, I think, when the points line is low like this, you actually don't necessarily want the guys going for the post. You actually prefer them almost going to the corner and failing to score the try quite a bit, because if they're going for post, then the 3 points are accumulating. So that's a fair point you make on the unders, because I did mention the fact that obviously being a semi-final, teams would be taking their points on that one. So that's the two semi-finals. We'll come back to best bets, but we've already got something certainly forming in the mind. I want to get on to the Premiership. Brady, when I looked, there were only the two games priced up. I think they were tomorrow's games. I know we discussed this on last week's show. The bookmakers tend to be pretty cautious with these handicaps, and understandably so, because of all the team selections. Let's get on to the first one, though. There's been quite a bit of talk, I think, on the forum on this. Worcester plus 8.5 against Bristol, and the points line here has been set at 50.5.
Good. So that one actually opened at 11.5. So there's been quite a lot of money on the wires. And I think it's probably based on their win against the Harlequins last time, when, you know, that was the golden bets that I was mentioning, and where, you know, I think all the form went on the minus 1.5 against the Harlequins. Worcester is not an easy team to play, you know, on their home grounds. That says Bristol, you know, when you look at their squads and the way they can play and their defense, that could be complicated for Worcester tomorrow, even if they bring, you know, their best squad. I still believe that at 11.5, I would have gone the Warriors, but 8.5, you know, if the money keeps going for the Warriors and it's, you know, coming towards, you know, 7.5 or 6.5, then I will be going with Bristol's minus here, definitely. Then on the points, a complicated one, because Bristol is scoring a lot, Worcester is playing a lot, but the Bristol defense has been quite strong. I recall the games against the Saracens. Will Wires put, you know, like 20 points tomorrow? I don't know, to be honest with you. So I think I'm going to wait to see what's the market is doing on that market on the points. But forecast is good tomorrow in the UK for the two games, by the way. There's no wind, there's no rain. It's not going to be like, you know, it's not summer anymore here, and summer is gone. And we will have to wait a few months before it's back. But it's still going to be decent weather with like 15, 16 degrees for the game. So I think that's why the bookies have those caps that high, but I will be very careful.
Right. Well, I want to bring up something here. We're giving him a page on the Good for the Game side. It's the betting Stig. He can't generally make the Thursday night show, but I just want to pull up his lines here on the Gallagher Premiership and for the two games that he's got up tomorrow. So his Stig line, as he calls it. So he's got his algorithm that he uses, which I must say seems to be quite effective, and it's got a lot of interest. And his line came in at minus 14. So interesting, as you say, the money. He obviously did this when the Lions came out. The money has sort of come for Worcester, and he actually was suggesting at this point Bristol on the minus there at minus 14. And we can go straight into the next game then, and where he's actually suggested here Exeter plus 2.5, because Exeter plus 2.5. Let me just check what the handicap is. What's the latest you've seen on that one,
right? It's, on the, it's on the, 2.5. Well, it depends on the bookmaker. The bookmaker are all over the place.
Yes. I think when I looked at it was Saints plus 2.5. But either way, we're looking at quite a close game. And just to mention that the betting Stig has got, he posts all of this. And he also posted on Twitter and on the Good for the Game forum. But it means you can go down at your leisure and have a look at all of his picks for the weekend there. But let's move on to the next game then. It's Saints up against Exeter. Points is 48.5. While you're talking, I'll just double check the line.
Okay, so Saints were, I think, depending on the bookmaker, Saints were favorite in some of them and Exeter was favorite on the other one. So I think the bookmaker were totally lost on that one. And I think one of the main reasons is that Exeter is bringing their second squad. No issue on that. But it's the same squad that won in Bristol when Bristol had their best squad. So to me, you know, Exeter, you know, the A team or the B team doesn't make any difference. I've seen on the forum that Brad and Neil are on the Saints. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter going for the Saints based on the team squad. I'm just hoping that people will put more and more money on the Saints tonight and tomorrow, so I can get a better handicap on Exeter, because to me this is a no-brainer. This is Exeter handicap. I don't understand how Exeter is not favorite here. Yes, this is not their stronger squad, but you know, I think there's 21 players that were involved in the Bristol game, and it's the same starting 15. So to me, yeah, no brainer, Exeter the plus, and I'm gonna wait because I can see already in some bookmaker I saw like 3.5, 4.5 already coming that way. If it reaches 5.5, that's gonna become like, you know, almost my main bait of the weekend. I can't see them losing. That Northampton side, the Saints, they are just horrible. And I look at the squad, the scrum half Mitchell is playing. With that guy, there's no way they're going to win a game. It's just nuts. He doesn't, you know, he's not at the level that's, you know, you expect someone to be. And, you know, I know that Heiner is gone, but he's too far from him. And Bigger is not in the best shape. A lot of players are not in their best shape. And I think the main bet that I'm going to go with tomorrow, I've seen on one bookmaker, it's the Northampton points, which is set up at 27.5. I'm going to fire the under on here, but like proper under. The Saints haven't scored more than, I think, 22 points since the comeback, since we, after COVID, so for the past four games, and it was against the London Irish. And London Irish were playing most of the second half with you know, 14 men. So I think that my main bet, and I'm going to post it a bit later on the forum, is going to be the under team for Northampton. I can't see them scoring tomorrow a lot of points, even with the good forecast and everything. No.
Okay, so it's under 27.5 points there on the Saints. And I mean, yeah, interesting that the bookmakers are a little bit divided there, but you're in agreement with the Stig on which team to go for there. Just quickly, we don't have prices on the Saturday games. How many games we got to look forward to over the weekend? A full house of fixtures?
What do we have? To be honest with you, it's going to be complicated to know. I mean, unless we've got the handicaps, you can just make assumption, you know, and I think assumption on those games is like, you know, you think that the Saracens could bring their best squad because, you know, they've got a quarterfinal to play in 2 weeks against Leinster. So, you know, their best squad needs to play. You know, they haven't played for 5 months. Then those players need to play. They need to play together. They need to, you know, repeat the, you know, all the scenarios and everything. I can't see why, you know, Saracens would not play the best team, but then, you know, suddenly you look at the side and it's like you don't even know, you know, half of the players. So it's really tricky to bet on the Gallagher Premiership at the moment. And you look at the bookmaker. Normally they should have priced those game Monday evening, Tuesday morning. They wait for the lineup. So very, very tricky.
Yeah, tricky one. And what sort of time should the punters be looking at for the teams? Normally about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1, 2 o'clock.
It's so South African time, the day before the game. So for the Saturday game tomorrow, 1 p.m. South African time. And if you go on Twitter, the team are announced. So that's the way it's done in the UK. Always one. And if you look for the top 14 that we can talk later, 5 o'clock South African time. If you go on Twitter, the team starts to be announced.
Excellent. Well, let's move on to the top 14 and we'll come back later and wrap up the bets. Now, what I've done is I've just quickly opened the player bets website here so that I'll be able to track it because I haven't had a good look at the top 14 yet. But we'll run through the matches and you can give me your thoughts on that. And the first one is Montpellier up against Pau. And here the handicap is sitting at 14.5 points, the home team on the minus.
Yeah, so for that game, I was saying on the forum that Montpellier hasn't played for 3 weeks. So they had 3 friendly games planned. They managed to get the first one. The last two have been cancelled due to COVID players, you know, being tested positive, either on their side or on the other side. And I was thinking that, you know what, they haven't played for 6 months. They just had a friendly game. 14.5 is quite high. So my first thought was, that's quite high, but then I've seen the team have been announced earlier today, and this is a strong squad, and when you look at Pau, this is you know Pau, I think they're gonna struggle this year. They're gonna fight for relegation. That's my view on Pau. So I think 14.5, looking at the team sheet, is well set up. But based on what I was saying earlier on the forum, I think 2 converted tries, it's still a lot. Maybe wait a bit because I can see the money going through Montpellier. So you might get a 15.5, 16.5 tomorrow, and that will be definitely a better bet. But still, I will go for Pau. But as I stated on the post that I've done on the forum, I think for the top 14, don't go over alpha units on each of the game if you want to bet on the game, because we don't know what's going to happen. Seriously, we've got no idea. The game tomorrow can finish at 9-8 or 50-12. No idea.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's solid advice here, particularly when we have teams that haven't played for so long. Let's go to the next game then, Brady. We've got La Rochelle against Toulon. And there, here we got the home team, La Rochelle, who I must admit, I've enjoyed watching over the years, particularly when they played at home. They play normally a very entertaining brand of rugby, and they're -5.5.
So for that one, I will be on Toulon handicap here. The main reason to start with is that if Toulon wants to bring, let's say, a defensive bonus, it's not 7-point difference like in other championship. It's 5 points in France, and this is a big difference because if the team are going to be kicking all the penalties and try to score as much as they can, because a bonus point in the top 14 is really important at the end of the day, because you've got so many strong squad. Financially, those teams have to finish in the top 6 to play the Champions Cup for the money. If not, it's complicated and they need to get rid of their best player. So for me, 5.5 here, I'm going Toulon. One of the second reason is that I think La Rochelle played only one friendly game and they lost 38-0 against Toulouse. A friendly game in France where you don't score any points, it's quite worrying, to be honest with you, because the weather was great as well. So not sure what happened there. So Toulon here, Toulon handicap, Toulon 5.5. It's a good one, I think.
Toulon on the handicap there. Then we go to Lyon against Racing 92. And here we got the home team at -3.5.
Yes, so that one was my early move on the top 14 this week. I went with Racing and I managed to get 5.5. So the money has been going on the Racing. The main reason is that there's been an announcement that a player tested positive for COVID for Lyon. And that meant that they couldn't train for the whole week as a full squad. So they had to train in small groups of 9 or 10 players maximum. And they need to do a test tomorrow to see if the game is going to go through or not. So, even if those games are, here, on the bookies, we still don't know until tomorrow if they're going to be played or not. Every single team has to go through a last COVID testing tomorrow. And if the staff and the players, if there is 3 people or more that are affected by the COVID, then the game is postponed.
Wow, yeah, it sounds very much like the Tour de France. If any 2 people in the team, including the back staff, are tested positive, then the whole team gets withdrawn. Just interesting, Henrik was just coming on and saying he's in awe of your knowledge of all the rugby. And then Oracle comes on and says, it's almost like you've got nothing else to do but to watch and study rugby all day. So yes, Oracle. Accounted of knowledge, as Henrik would say there.
Thank you guys. But yeah, you know, I read a lot about rugby, and I love it. That's, you know, that's my sport. So yeah.
happy to
share the knowledge.
That's it. It's all for one against the bookmakers. Let's move on to the next game then, and that's Arden against Castre, and that's a -2.5 home team favorite.
So that one, I think my initial thought was Agen on the board. I will not go with an handicap here, but I'm going to wait for the points here. And the main reason is that if there is something around 45, 46, I'm firing unders here. Castres is playing a boring rugby with the new coach, which is the ex-Agen coach, actually. They didn't, you know, they lost couple of interesting players. They didn't recruit well. Those two teams that played a friendly game, I think it ended up 8-9 for Castres. And when you look at Agen, I think they've been recruiting quite, you know, some interesting player. They've got Reeds that is coming from the Tigers. They've got that young wing from Harlequins, which is the future wing of England. Gabriel Obitoye, I think, like this is a cracking player. So I think if I look at Agen here, I would say home win on the board, and I'm waiting for the points because under for me on that game. I might be totally wrong, but this is that will be my move. I'm just waiting for the bookmakers to propose them.
Before we go into the next game, Oracle's asked me to ask you this question twice now in French. Avant Brady. I don't know if I can even get close to pronouncing that correctly, but
yeah,
tell us what
that's
it means.
That's quite good. Your French is good. And I must say, Oracle's French is better than my English almost. I'm surprised here. No, I've never been, unfortunately. And I don't know when it's going to happen now, but that's one of the countries on my list. I would love to go there, and I would love to go to and watch a rugby game there. That's something that, you know, I will really enjoy. Because I've been to most of the big stadium in Europe, and I need to travel a bit now to see the rugby from the other side of the planet.
Yeah, well, that would be good if you came to South Africa. It would be great to watch some games with you. I know a lot of the boys on the WhatsApp groups and that, I think they've just made the British Lions tickets. You can apply for them. And guys are putting their tickets in. And I must say, I'm always a bit slow on these things, so I haven't actually put in for any tickets. But we're talking about all sorts of good for the game trips where all the guys get together. And I've got a feeling watching rugby will be the least of our problems if we all get together in the same town, quite frankly. But anyway. Let's have a look at the next one, Brady. We got Brive against Bayonne.
Yeah, so Brive,
the home team again.
Yeah, so that one, once again, you know, talking about, you know, those teams are going to fight to avoid relegation at the end of the year. I like the recruitment of Bayonne. I think it's been a very, very smart, you know, Yannick Bru, which is the ex-French player, has been doing a very smart recruitment here. He's a good coach, so I think that's going to be an interesting team to watch this season. I don't think, you know, they're going to make the quarterfinal or something like this, but I think they're going to be interesting to watch. 7.5, I think it's quite high, to be honest with you. As I said, bonus point is 5 points difference. They're going to target that, if not a win. So my move here will be the Bayern handicap, straight forward.
Right, by an handicap, the away team there. And then the final game of the weekend, it's Clermont against Toulouse. This is a battle of the heavyweights, -4.5 points. I notice in France, the home team is always the favorite.
Always, you know, as I was saying in my under forum, it's very hard in top 14 to win away. If you look at the results, you know, it's like 5%, 7% of away win. Across the season, it's very, very low away win in France because, you know, the teams, they are targeting the home games. So they always bring their best squad, you know, when they play home. And then when they play away, you know, they send, you know, the second squad because there are some rules in France where you need to play, where you know, French player that have been, you know, trained from the team needs to play. I mean, it's very complex in France. And that's why you see this kind of thing happening. But here, I'm not going to put any money on that. First of all, because Toulouse is my team and I don't bet when my team is playing normally. I try to avoid that. I think the handicap was 5.5 beginning of the week. But once again, there's been some news that some Toulouse players have been, you know, affected by the COVID. We don't know which playing they are. So imagine tomorrow you've got Colby or you've got Dupont, you know, and Tamac that are, you know, out because of that. That's 3 key players that could be potentially out. We don't know the squads yet. You know, Clermont, winning there, it's almost impossible. But they're going to be without, you know, all their fans. If I had to, you know, I'm waiting on the points here, and I will go over because the past few games between those two teams, I think there's been like 55, 65 points. And they were like cracking games. So I think that one is a game to watch, probably do something in play, and I will be looking at tries and points here.
Excellent. I was just asking the guys which stadium is in the background, and I'm quite impressed. Oracle Rugby got it straight away, Brisbane. It is, of course, the Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Brady, before we get into your best bets on the card, just a quick talk on the outright of the top 14. Any fancy there? Any early long-term?
I'm not a long-term punter, to be honest with you. And I think with the situation right now, with the COVID, I will not put any money that would be blocked for 9 months on anything. I think, you know, you've got the Heineken Cup that you can bet on because it's going to finish soon. You've got the Pro 14 where you can bet on the Leinster, or the Gallagher where you can bet on Exeter, Sale or Bristol. I think if I would rather make a move on those ones. We're going to finish in 1 or 2 months than putting money right now in August and get the money. You know, the championships supposed to finish, in May or June. But, you know, with the COVID situation, it might end up, you know, in October. So which means you will get money stuck for 14 months. I don't like to have money stuck on a bookmaker for that long. This is not a feeling that I enjoy. So I'd rather go with on the Heineken Cup. I think I find one that is quite interesting is Exeter to win. I think, and you can find that 4-1. And I think they're gonna play the Saints in the quarterfinal. And I think, you know, that's, you know, like I think I think it's Neil who already took already the minus 13.5, which means then they play a semi-final home, which is going to be either Toulouse or Ulster. I mean, Ulster has been very disappointed. Toulouse has been playing, you know, they haven't played yet. Their game on Sunday might be postponed, so which means they will have 1 or 2 games before playing Exeter away. And Exeter away, I mean, they've been impressive. And then that could mean, you know, a Leinster versus Exeter final. And it means you've got Exeter at 5. You could almost do a surbet and then, you know, make some money easily like this. So, if I had to do like a short-term, mid-term point, I will go with Exeter to win the Heineken Cup. That will be the one. But on the top 14, nothing.
Right. Thanks very much, Brady. While I got you on the big screen then, we've talked about a lot of rugby games. Give me your best bet and then feel free to throw in a backup bet as well, because after so many games, it's probably hard to narrow it down to just one.
So I think my best bet, I already put it on the forum, is the combo Leinster. That's the double Leinster-Edinburgh. For me, I see those two teams winning and reaching the final. So, you know, I managed to get it at 195. I think that was a good odds. The second one will be the Racing 5.5. So that's the one that I managed to get. If you can get 4.5, I think it's still good. The main reason, as I said, is that Lyon has been didn't train almost for the week. Racing is going to bring their full squad because they are preparing for their quarterfinal of the Heineken Cup in 2 weeks. And they played a friendly game and, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Racing won by 12 points, something like this. So, you know, this kind of handicap, I think that's a good bet, but that's the best bet without putting too much money on it. I just need to be careful. This is, you know, top 14, first game after 6 months, you need to be very careful of how much you put, you know, you punt on that. Very, very careful. And the third one for me will be, a mix between the Exeter handicap and the underpoints Saints, because I can't see that Saints team scoring, especially with that scrum half. I mean, for me, it's just is not at the level.
Right. So that's your best bet. Interesting. I know Chris came on earlier. Chris Rowe was saying he thinks Saints might put it together, but I know you're going to get some followers of the unders there. Henrik will also be joining you, very much an unders punter at the best of times. I've got to say, I haven't really got any heavy bets. I like the Rebels on the halftime handicap, but the problem is I've told myself, do not make an Australian team your best bet under any circumstances. So I think we can say with a fair amount of confidence that some of your bets are going into tomorrow's newsletter that's going to be coming out, Brady. It's going to be a cracking weekend.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, that everybody who's been posting on the forum, I think the Edinburgh and Leinster, I think you've got a consensus that, you know, those two teams should win. Exeter, no, because I think I'm the only one with the stick to be on the Exeter, and you've got other guys there. I think that combo, Leinster, Edinburgh could be the best bets of the week. Not only because I've been taking it, obviously, but because I mean, most of the guys on the forum agree with that one. So, that would be I think that could be the best bet of the week from my point of view.
Excellent. Brady, thanks very much. And thanks to everyone who joined us in the live chat on Facebook. The likes of Darren and Dave were there. And, of course, we've got our regulars on YouTube and Brendan Vessels. I wonder if his battery's run out of his cell phone. We haven't heard of him in a while, sitting in the darky. Brendan, thanks very much for your contributions, Conductor. That introduction you did for us was absolutely a top of brass. Oracle wants to finish the show in French. Tell Brady, you could read it there, Brady. Merci pour... No, you read it. I can't even have a go at it.
Merci pour vos connaissances et conseils sur le rugby européen. Tu parles très bien. I don't know who's translating for him. I need to ask him next time on the show. You need to come and speak French to me, Oracle. Seriously.
Excellent. Just to tell everyone, if you haven't watched yet, I do a Tour de France preview every morning. It doesn't go live, but it's normally up by about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I love the Tour de France. I'm passionate about it. My advice on the Tour de France is a lot like your advice on the top 14, half a unit bets. In fact, sometimes I'm betting quarter unit bets. It is great fun. I'm a little bit behind at the moment, I must be honest. But there are plenty of guys on the Good for the Game forum and on Twitter that are firing quite nicely. I'm generally slow in these Grand Tours, but don't miss our Tour de France previews. And if you haven't subscribed to our channel yet, please do so. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. Health Hut, great that you could catch the live show. We hope to see you again. And thanks very much to all of the guys who joined us. Brady, thanks a lot, and have a cracking weekend.
Cheers, Brent. You too.